right, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragomeni. I'm going to tell you what's going on this holiday week. It's Christmas week. We want to wish everybody a happy holiday, but just want to let you know when the holidays end, coming up this Thursday, the day after Christmas, we are back at it with live comedy. And this week, it's Brad Wenzel, your headliner. Brad will be with us on Thursday night, the 26th at 7:30 p.m. Friday, two shows at 7:15 and 9:45 p.m. And then Saturday night, 7 p.m. and 9:30. You can come see Brad Wenzel. I'll be talking to him in just a minute. We'll talk a lot more about Brad. Good comics opening, too. Emma Stevenson is your MC. Diego Atanasio being your feature. So really fun shows to come to with your family. If you're sitting around, you got people in from out of town, you want to do something fun, come see Brad Wenzel. I think he's one of the best comics in the country. We'll talk more about Brad in 1 second. But I can't, I would be remiss if I don't mention, next week is New Year's Eve, and we've got two great shows on New Year's Eve. With Zach Martina, there's a 7:30 p.m. early show and a 10:30 p.m. late show. If you come to the early show, of course, you'll be done by about 9 o'clock if you want to get home and ring in the new year there. If you come to that late show at 10:30, there'll be a champagne split. We will count down into the new year at midnight and play some. You'll get to hear Auld Lang Syne, and everyone will have a great time. It's always fun ringing in the new year at the Comedy Castle. So that's next week, okay? Tuesday. I don't know if there'll be a show between now and New Year's Eve. If I can get a hold of Zach, maybe we'll have one up next Monday or so, but we'll see about that one. Greg Sharp and Richard Mathis, your openers for New Year's Eve with Zach. Zach's one of the best. He's been on this show many times. You'll find interviews with him, and maybe we'll get a new one for next week, but that'll be great. We just had the Comedy Rumble tonight, so let's talk a little bit about that, because it was a real great show. A lot of fun people on that show. 30 comedians, and many of them you would know from this show, and just if you come to the Comedy Castle on a regular basis. Just a great all-star lineup. And so shout out to Brett Hayden for putting that thing together. We had a great night hanging out with everybody because Brad was up there too. Me and Brad were kind of saw each other there, and then we got together for this interview later. In fact, I think we started recording about 11 p.m. on a Sunday here, and I'm recording this thing now early Monday morning at about 12:30. So, but it was great talking to Brad, but the Comedy Rumble, super fun. If you get a chance to come out, and of course, you know, we had the unfortunate news from Brett tonight that there is a man sitting on the trademark Comedy Rumble, and he's a big meanie. He doesn't want Brett to use the name anymore, even though Brett came up with it. Whole ugly thing. But hopefully there'll be more shows. Maybe they're not called the Comedy Rumble. I don't know. But we'll see. Hopefully we have more. We had a great time tonight. I want to thank everyone who came out. I think we almost sold the joint out. Yeah. So here's some references in this interview I do with Brad about the Comedy Rumble. We bring it up. We mention it a little bit. It was a fun night over there. And man, what did I talk to Brad about? I mean, just so many things. We started out talking about technology. We started talking about, in fact, because usually, you know, these interviews, there's a little pre thing that I do, and then we don't really put that on the show, and then I introduce the guy. No, this one, you're pretty much hearing it from Brad answering the phone and me calling, because I screwed up and wasn't talking into the microphone. So you'll hear that's kind of where it starts, and it just goes on from there. It's probably the longest interview I've ever done on this show, but we talked about so much fun stuff. He'll tell you about selling records on the road and the pros and cons to that. We'll talk about vinyl versus MP3. That's a thing we both are passionate about. You'll hear us talk about, you know, Brad Wenzel coming up through the ranks, becoming the opening act for Kathleen Madigan, and some behind the scenes stories that Brad didn't even know about, how that all came together and why that was a big deal. And just sort of where he's at in his career and doing his thing on the road, headlining great clubs almost every weekend of the year. We'll talk about why Brad, who, you know, started out as this sort of baby-faced assassin on stage, right? Real clean-cut guy. And now he's got the long hair and then the mustache and the whole thing. And he has a really great take on that, like why he does it that way. Now, why he changed his look, and it was deliberate. And I liked his reasoning for that. I thought that was really cool. What else? Again, a lot of Bob Seger talk on this show, a lot of Bruce Springsteen talk on this show. Just a lot of talk about fun stuff. We had a great interview. Of course, I at the end, you'll hear me try to be funny, and Brad didn't react. He thought the phone was dead. I guess I failed in that one. That's towards the end of the interview. And then at the end, I say, you'll hear me mention why I didn't interview Brad last summer. And it made me a little emotional why I did. I was sick. And you'll hear that story. You'll hear that story towards the end here tonight, today on the show. That's a great interview. I love Brad Wenzel. I think he's one of the funniest guys. I mean, probably. And again, I'm going to say this without any sort of, of local comedians or of comedians I know. I think one of the very best joke writers of his generation. I think right now when it comes to writing jokes, I think Brad Wenzel's about as good as anybody that's out there, famous, not famous, whatever. And, you know, certainly Brad has done his share of things on television and in the media, and I'm sure he will do more of that going forward. So, again, I find this guy, and I think anyone who's had the chance to see him, and if you haven't, this is your chance to see Brad on stage. You're going to love it. You got to come out to these shows this weekend. But let's just throw it to the talk. Let's throw it to the talk. Let's get you guys. You might be driving out to grandma's for Christmas. You want to listen to something? Listen to me talk to Brad Wenzel. You're going to want to buy tickets when you hear this interview. I guarantee it. Brad is so great. Let's throw it to the interview with Brad Wenzel.
Hello.
Brad, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Going good. I can hear you. Yeah. I stepped away from the microphone, and I'm like, why can't you hear me? You got a phone plugged into a mixer. That goes in, you know, it's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm like, talking, I'm sure he's got it figured out.
You're talking into the mic and not the phone. I have to get used to that adjustment.
Oh, so yeah. Okay, yeah, you're talking into a microphone, but we're on the phone. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that would fuck me up.
microphone goes into a mixer. Well, it's
you're almost like those old, like old-timey, like where they would connect you. You know what I mean? Like a phone from like the old, like from the 1800s.
Oh, hold on 1 second. We'll get you. No, but so then I do this, and then you come through. Instead of me hearing you on the phone, I'm hearing you in my headphones.
Right.
And then that, you know, so then I can record us both. Good.
That's kind of slick, though.
And then you, when I'm done with the show, listen to this. This is how cool this is. I can actually take your voice and my voice separately and affect them differently to make them sound as good as they could possibly be.
Oh, that's nice. You get two tracks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a double. I'm recording. It's two tracks. You understand the concept.
Oh, playing. Yeah. Yes. I literally just got some audio stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the castle this weekend.
Oh, okay. You're going to record.
And I was, I'm going to record for all my headline weekends.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, oh, this, the castle, that'll be like a good starting point, you know. So
sure,
I've been getting into all the audio stuff.
All right, and you're gonna mic yourself. You're gonna mic the audience. You're gonna do that whole thing. Okay.
Basically, it's like a Zoom recorder that's okay. Like the new one for the crowd.
Okay.
And then a splitter box, and so I'll have me, and then it shouldn't mess up any of the club stuff.
Right.
But it'll basically get the club microphone, and then the Zoom will get the crowd.
Yeah.
And then I shouldn't have to, other than plugging that stuff in, it should be pretty straightforward.
I've seen lots of different guys come in and do it different ways, but it sounds like, right now, without knowing more detail, it sounds like that'll work.
Yeah, Tony Deo, like,
he's bigger than that. Yeah, I know how Tony does it. Yeah.
He walked me through it, and I'm pretty sure the picture he has of the setup, it might be from the castle.
It might be, yeah. He does a whole thing where he is tapping sort of the mic input.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually getting that and not, because you can also do an output from our board.
Yeah, this is like the way this with the splitter box and the Zoomer, it's basically like I get it before it.
Yeah, you get it before the PA. Yeah, you get like a direct into the recorder.
simpler or less like, I don't know.
It's less stuff in between to
right.
get interference or something like that. So that would be right, the advantage right. of doing it that way.
Yeah, that's it great. Looked like something I could handle. That's why I was like, okay.
Yeah. I've seen, all right, so Carlos Mencia, this is what right. he did. This is what he did. He actually recorded the whole show with microphones and then fed that into a laptop that recorded it all and then had a, like, he could make 64 USB flash drives at one time with this wow. giant box. And then he would take the show that was just recorded and without mixing it or anything, just dump it onto these flash drives and then sell it to people after the show.
That's yeah, I've heard about that. I thought he was doing it on like CDs or something. It was just like, how do you even do
no,
that?
No, it's, a, it's yeah, like flash drives. Drive. But this machine would make all of these flash drives wow. in one. Yeah, it was wild.
That's nuts.
And it's kind of yeah. like.
I bet he sold a lot of them.
He
that's
did.
Like a that's a crazy thing to do, but I bet he sold.
He
a
would because the pitch would be you're not
it's
just
from,
getting a,
once
a,
in
a comedy
lifetime.
Album. You're getting this particular show that you watched tonight. Okay.
Right.
Now here's the
Everybody.
Downside. And I don't know how this happened. I'm not blaming Carlos, right? But
right.
we would get phone calls afterwards and people would call the club and go, hey, you know, I bought this flash drive from Carlos Mencia and like, there's nothing on the drive. Now, I don't know if that's a scam. I don't think that's a scam he's willing. I think
nah,
they were supposed to be on there.
It was fucked up.
But that's how guys get. I mean, the guys get creative, you know, you get creative
yeah.
with that stuff. But yeah, it'll
the
be
a thing I saw that I was like, man, that's so such a sick move was yeah. I opened for Dimitri Martin once.
Right.
He was has the easel.
Okay.
And so every show he's like drawn on this easel.
Yeah.
You
okay.
know,
yeah,
so he has
yeah.
to get a new easel every night. But what he would do is then he would take every page of the easel had a different like joke on it. Basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so then he would rip each page out and then sell those
oh,
for
wow.
like $100
yeah.
after the show.
Okay.
And there
be
would
cool.
be like, 40 of them
yeah, yeah
and they
yeah.
would just sell like crazy
sure.
like it was either like 100 or 150 or something
yeah,
and
yeah.
he would just and it was like otherwise he would have just had to throw it in the trash and
okay.
to do the bit again
yeah
you know because it was like him like adding like adding things to what's already on there
oh,
kind
okay.
of thing like drawing
I gotcha
it.
Yeah yeah yeah
and so yeah and I was like man that is the best
that's
merch
it?
In the world
that's it well, we like just
something you would have had to throw away is now worth like thousands of dollars.
Maddie Wiener, who we just had, who's great by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah, I didn't get
yeah.
to talk to her for this show, but her merch was like 5x7 cards that, mm-hmm. you know, she just, you know, had with her. She probably wrote her jokes on there or something. And she would just draw on them like in the afternoon. Like it would
oh,
say,
nice, like,
I saw,
drawing.
It said, yeah, I saw Maddie Wiener at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And she draw like a little picture of her, which was, you know, like something a kid could do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was the merch after the show.
That's like, a pretty good idea. Chris Higgins was just, I was with him and he was frantically trying to print. He does, he draws it himself and he makes it unique for each city, but
yeah.
it's like essentially a postcard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was like, we were in Ann Arbor and he was frantically trying to get FedEx to print his merch in time for the show. And
you see
stuff,
that too, so. Man. Guys come in. They printed posters just for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad move. Because
then you don't
the
have to fly.
Thing.
That's what I told Maddie Wiener. I go,
yeah.
this is the best merch because you don't have to pack a whole bag full of this crap. You know, you just
yeah.
do it while you get to town.
I sell vinyl, which is psychotic.
Oh,
and then.
How do you move the flannel, the vinyl around?
I got a bag that's like fits like 20 records.
Oh, okay,
it's just a square
yeah,
bag
yeah.
that's made for that,
sure,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
just put that in my book, like my book bag.
Yeah,
and then I just travel with that. But it would going through the airport with like 20 records
yeah.
on your back is like heavy. But then if you would sell them
yeah.
all, that was like the greatest.
Yeah,
like
right,
going
right,
home
yeah.
without it.
Yeah.
Would be such a win, you know, kind of thing. But the upside was there was no sizes. So that was the nice thing about the record is you don't have to be like, oh, I'm out of larges. Sorry. Do you want an extra large? No. Okay. You know? And so, yeah, they're heavy. Or if it's like, if I'm doing some shows, I'll only take like 10, you know, it just depends what the gig is.
Yeah.
Or if it's like, if I'm opening for Posehn, they buy records like crazy.
Sure. Yeah. Those guys.
So like I bought like double for like a weekend with him and sold them all. And I was like, all right, this is sick. So you never know. Some nights you look insane. And then other nights, I mean, I'm like matched my pay with records. Right. So you never know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, absolutely. It's just, what do you, what is the value of taking this thing and what is the return on the thing that you're selling? And it's last always night, a thing.
Last night was funny. If you could be a fly on the wall, because there was like a woman who bought, she's like, oh, I'll buy it. But she's like, what is it? And I was like, this is me doing stand up. And she's like, what's on there though? And I was like, oh, it's just me doing folk songs. I was like, no, it's me doing stand-up. So she's like, so it's like you do this after the show. She had just seen me do stand-up for an hour.
Stand-up.
And it's like, yeah, it's that, and you can hear the audience. She just had no but she was older than me. She was like,
she would have had 15, 20 years older than me.
She had a record player.
Yeah, you would think.
And she had no concept of like what a comedy album was, which I would get if you were younger than me.
Yeah.
But for you, I'm like, you know what? This has been around. I had to truly explain. But then she did nice. So she was nice.
I mean,
she was nice to do that. But
well, that's always the thing too. When
there's a picture of me doing stand up on the cover as well, and it's called joke. Yeah. I mean, it's like pretty deliberate.
there was a so like Chris Porter is a big vinyl guy, right? And he would do that thing.
Yeah.
And he would say, like, I go, Chris, people are you gotta get vinyl guys to buy these, right? They're not, you're not gonna get that many vinyl guys. He goes, people just buy them and they never play them. and that's fine with me. Because he said if I had a CD, no one would want it because they just put it in a drawer because it's a CD. But a piece of vinyl, you put it on your wall or you get a case for it and you can hang it.
Yeah, they're a novelty onto themselves, you know. And like people send me pictures of their turntable and stuff sometimes, you know. But I'm like, hey, once you get it, it can be a Frisbee, whatever you
whatever
want.
Whatever you want, but, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
One day you'll be in the... You'll be in the Salvation Army thrift store.
And
you'll
be looking for
all records, and there will be.
I think I saw one of my records somewhere used once I was like, I've made it.
That's
I think it might have been in Ann Arbor or something like that.
But you know what?
Sold quite a few.
Look, that someone will be like, I'll pick this up because it's used record. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Are used records cheap? I guess some of them might be.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, the whole record thing is blown up, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it was fun stuff. I was running around to a couple yesterday, getting some like Christmas gifts for people. They're fun to give to people for gifts.
Yeah.
I gave when Mercer got Brett Mercer, Comedy Zone. Brett Mercer got married. I gave them some records.
And I was like,
oh, this is a fun thing to give people.
That's good for him. You know.
Yeah.
I'm getting married soon. Then nobody give me records.
Okay,
I will not be.
Do you not have a turntable?
Hell
Well, that should be number one in the registry.
Is
your turntable.
Okay. So I thought, literally, it went through my head recently. I go, you know what? If I really like an album, I should really get like a record.
Yeah.
Just
because
at least I'd have something like to look at and sort of. You know, like
you feel good about it too. Because streaming's so messed up.
Yeah, it is.
You do, if it's like a smaller artist, you do feel good doing it.
But then at the same time, I go, you know what? I think I'm okay. I just go, you know what? The convenience of just listening to stuff is just, I can't beat that, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's like two different things for me. Like the record player and then playing music on my phone. It's like two. It's for different activities, different
things.
A playlist versus an album.
Right.
I like the record player for eating. That's when I have it next to my table.
All right.
And when I sit down to eat something, I just hit the button and I listen to a side of a record.
That makes sense, right? About 20 minutes,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah. Same thing. If you got to do dishes, you know, you hit the button because it's like that's one room over, you know, kind of thing. And then you do like you buy vinyl, those albums differently than like you got to really want the whole album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So that's like a whole, it's just a different thing. But then I stream music all the time too.
Yeah.
And kind of, cause that was like the iPod generation. So like, I feel like a lot of people will have these really curated playlists, you know, with their streaming. And I'm like, I think because of the iPod stuff, I'm like, no, I have one playlist with 1,000 songs that I shuffle.
Oh,
that's how I listen to it, you know, the mega mix. That's mega what I call mix. It.
That's wild. Yeah. I have, I do streaming too, but I was doing streaming like, kind of before was like a thing, you know, like with I had a CD player that played MP3s. I did that for a while. Yeah.
I would always see the MP3 button on the CD players and not know what was going on.
And when I was like a road comic in the early 2000s, that was the greatest.
Right.
If you have an MP3 of CDs, you'd have like 12 CDs on one disc. So then when you were doing those long road trips, you could like shuffle the whole disc. So then you'd have to like curate, okay, which disc got what MP3, you know, so if you wanted like a whole band's discography on one disc, you could do that.
So and when the MP3 players came out, were you psyched as you were at the forefront of this or
no? Did I not get one of those though? Because I was kind of doing my own. No, I actually did, but mine was like this little tiny thing that was like just, it wasn't like an iPod. It was like a little teeny tiny thing.
Yeah, I had one of those.
And it recorded.
They were cheaper.
Yeah, and it actually recorded stuff too.
Right.
So
yeah,
I could,
remember those.
I mean, I was like real hardcore nerd about like Howard Stern and stuff back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I could record, I was downloading his show on MP3 format and then playing it through this little MP3 player on the road too. That was another thing I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Zune at one point, feel like it's like a very, like a, I think I still have it somewhere.
You got money. Like you got money. Look it up.
A relic. Yeah.
They're selling. You can, I literally watched a YouTube video about the Zune.
I got to dig it up. I think I still have it somewhere. I don't know if it'll,
make sure I have
the charger or not, but I think I have it somewhere. But yeah, I remember that was like, well, this is crazy because you can watch a video on your MP3 player.
Yeah. That was
so the idea that you could watch a movie or something, but it only had enough memory for like one movie.
Right.
But you were like, the idea that you could do that on something in your hands was nuts, you know? And then it's just, smartphones were like around the corner kind of thing.
They came out and ruined everything. Except comedy. I think honestly, this whole digital thing, really good for comedy.
I disagree.
No, we're gonna fight now, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I always joke.
Give me your opinion.
I think that's just me personally because I think I totally understand like the benefits of it.
Yeah.
I just always joke that I've gone completely untouched by the comedy boom. I always say I think I was in a basement telling jokes when it went off, because I always hear that.
Listen,
it's never been better. There's never been more money, and I was like, that's not what's going on over here.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you this: in 2006, I had a little show, and I had a podcast. In 2005, in 2006, we did a show where we brought up comedians, and me and Corey Hall sat there. And we'd interview them when they were done and talk to them. And it was really good. And no one gave a shit. Now Kill Tony's the biggest goddamn thing. And it's like, I did this 20 years ago, you motherfuckers.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, no fault to Tony. I mean,
gotta get Joel at Madison Square Garden soon, so he can have some
fun. I probably, I actually have you considered, like, because I looked at, you know, the Kill Tony thing originally, and I was like, you know what, you know, is this really good for comics? I'm like, well, it's good for Tony. But then I see people like blowing up, and we had Cam Patterson at the club. And of course, you know, I know Jacob Barr pretty well. And he's, you know, gotten some
I love
from that
Jacob.
Thing. And I kind of go, oh, maybe this is good now. Maybe I shouldn't be mad at this. Maybe this is a good thing. Where do you come down?
I guess I'm indifferent. It's like not my, it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
But like, if for the people who are like, you know, like I said, like I love Jacob and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the people who are had a positive impact on them, like, you know, more power to them.
Yeah,
you know, good for them.
Yeah,
but like, it's just not my. I think it's like, I remember, I think there's like a clip. It's, and like I said, like it's like, you know, do what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like there is, I think there's a clip of Bill Burr on there.
Okay.
And he just didn't like it.
He didn't want to criticize the comics.
Yeah, and I kind of fall on that.
Right.
Like that's what I'm not into that. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's just me.
Right.
But also, I kind of don't. I'm not as into the like whole golden ticket.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everybody, you want a break. Everybody wants to catch a break.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like a crotchety old guy or something, but like the priority was like, I want to get so good at stand up, success comes my way.
Yeah.
Was the idea.
Uh-huh.
So all your passion went into the stand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and now it feels like people are like, you actually, if you can just go viral, you don't. It's like this attitude of like, you actually don't need to be good.
Yeah,
and it's like that should bum you out,
right? Well, because it's sort of, like, you know, and I know because I know, like,
I mean,
I knew you very early in your career, and it was still the thing of, well, you're gonna open and you're gonna go in and MC, and then you'll middle for this person, and then after a while you headline your shows, and you did all that.
Yeah,
and then it's like, and like you made it to what is, you know, the highest, you know, for comedy, like a thing that almost nobody that starts ever does it, and you've gotten there, and yet at the same time you're still not known, or you know, and it's
right.
I see that frustration, and then the guy's like, his crowd work clips went viral, and now he's selling out, you know, theaters, and it's like,
right.
Oh. Yeah, I see why people are mad at that, but you know.
And it's like at the same time you're like, well, the goal is to find an audience. So if people are just doing that, you know, in their own way, then it's like, well, isn't that the goal? But I feel like you I don't know. I like the art part of
guess,
which and I sometimes it feels like people are. That whole like aspect of it. There's definitely comics who've been around or who are genuinely trying to do it for the right reasons.
Mm, yeah.
Who are also like having success with those things.
Sure,
and I think that's good.
Oh.
I just think the kind of climbery fame thing is like kind of a bummer. And sometimes you see that with some young comics where it's like, Blaine Hill, I don't know if you've had Blaine on, but
I have had Blaine
Hill said this thing one time that I think about all the time, where he just goes with that, where it feels like the attitude is a little off.
Yeah.
Where he goes, it's like they're not comedy fans, they're success fans.
Yeah. That's a good,
like,
that's pretty smart, man. I like that.
Yeah, that's, I think
like
about that a lot. Yeah.
I like
but
that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, more proud. Everybody's just trying to, you know, get by and stuff. So,
just,
you know, I wouldn't mind going viral tomorrow. Or whatever,
sure. Yeah. You got, but at the same time, there's a thing where when you're good at the thing, you're better off than the guy who's not good at the thing, you know? So it's like, there's
right.
two people, one's really good and one's, you know, just getting by on some little, you know, and it's like that, I think the chickens come home to roost at some point, you know? And
also,
when you're talented,
some chickens.
Well, look, if there's anybody, and I don't say this because I'm talking to you, but when I think of, you know, comics that I know personally and that I've seen sort of from their beginnings, I mean, nobody, you know, comedy is not a meritocracy. And yet, based solely on merit, you've gone to tremendous places, my friend.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's hard. It's you got to have perspective on it and stuff sometimes, because it's you'll get like kind of like, man, I just want to, you know, keep moving, you know, forward or get to this thing, and I'm spinning my wheels. And then other times you got to like look back on, you know, you just started out as like a kid doing open mics, and you know, you've done some cool stuff. So it's you try to, you know, appreciate what you got. Yeah, going, but, I mean, you but, know, but
from the get go, you were the guy that was like, "There's nothing else like this guy. It's so far beyond his level of experience."
Right.
The quality of the jokes and the way that you told them was just next level, where people were like, "Oh my God, this guy needs to be on The Weeknd." I mean, that was a conversation that I don't know if I've ever told you this exactly. I mean, I think you were aware at the time when it was happening, but you know, when I saw you on the open mic, when it was my thing to book, and I said, and I you know, sent Mark Ridley a note and said, "Maybe we put this guy on The Weeknd show as a guest, you know, just as a, like a thought." And he goes, he watches it. Get Brad on this Friday. We need to put him on, like, it was immediate. Like, it was kind of like, "Look, Mark, I don't want to tell you how to run your club, because you're like, you know, this genius guy, a successful comedy club owner, but really think The Weeknd show would benefit from, you know, this guy would really be de-welled and not playing to the 30 people at open mic." And then we did that. And from then on, man, you were in.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. The cast has always been like really supportive, and then the staff and everybody, you and Mark and everybody have always been like good to me, and I appreciate that.
But you're a good,
I didn't know that. Exactly. Yeah, I kind of remember.
Yeah,
that
you were probably vaguely,
like as it was happening.
He would have been like, I don't know if it was him or me or him that actually invited you to the guest set, but it was definitely his doing. Like,
I remember,
my suggestion.
I remember because I did the class, and then I did I had done the open mic a couple times, and then I really didn't go for about 2 years. Where I was doing just, there were a couple other Wednesday shows I would do more. I just had more access. And then I was like, well, and then I also was like trying to get better. So then by the time it was like a couple years in, then it was like, all right, I'm going to start going to the castle like more to hopefully get to MC. And I remember doing that. And then like, hey, do some guest sets. And then, you know, doing those. And like, hey, you should like host, you know. And so, I remember that and stuff. And back when, that was like back when it was kind of the trinity of like the castle and Joey's and the showcase.
Right.
And so you were just trying to figure those out, you know?
And then you got one of the great, most exclusive calls that you can get, at least back at this time. This doesn't really happen anymore. And you'll know why when I talk about the comic that did this for you. But when Kathleen Madigan would come to town. Okay. And Kathleen, God bless her, I think is semi-retired and doesn't really tour much anymore. But, you know, Mark and her go way back. To find Kathleen Madigan's opening act was a process of sending tapes and back and forth with her. And it was just a like she had this like super high standard for who could open for her. And Mark suggest people, and like people would do it, and they'd get the thumb at the end of the weekend. It was like, you know, it was like that gladiator thing, right? It was like the thumbs down, like the guy would do it. And it was just like, you know, like it was a real like gauntlet that some of these comics had to run. And I think a lot of them maybe didn't even realize it was happening at the time.
No,
but it was
definitely
a thing where it was like, and it was, here's the thing that would happen with her too. Cause you, of course, you know, you got the call and did that. I think more than once, right? With her.
At least I remember doing it once.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if I got
Well, here was
mixed.
The thing. I think you did well, but here's the thing I remember though. And I'm thinking of a particular person where it was like, yeah, she didn't invite you into the green room. That was the thing. Yeah. See, so you got the thumbs up.
Okay, you got the green room. Yeah,
because if she didn't like you, you didn't get to go in the green room.
Yeah. She was very like nice and
She's a super nice lady. But it was like a thing where she just had this super high standard for opening. And because she was our biggest act, you know, Mark really went out of his way to find, you know, the very best, like, new faces to be in front of her. And it was right. always this thing, you know, I remember this one guy, God bless this guy. I don't think you know him, but it was just like this guy doing his thing and nicest guy in the world. And it was just like, he's in the hallway, you know, all night hanging out, you know, like couldn't sit on the couch, couldn't get any of that, man. He did not pass the test.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm glad I was blissfully unaware, just floating through.
That's probably the best way to do it.
I would have been so nervous had I known that. So, yeah, I'm glad I was completely, I was just like, hey, we need someone to open this weekend.
Yeah.
And I remember what was unique was it was like a two-man show.
Yeah,
or two-person
right. That's
show.
Why it was. Yeah, it was a two-man show. Yeah.
So it was like you were going up like cold, but then also like everyone's there for her. Right. So it's a hotter crowd.
Every show sold out. Yeah,
exactly. Which is a different dynamic than your regular club crowd. That's what I remember is just being like, oh, there's like a two person show.
Yeah. Mostly women in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's fantastic, by the way. And I believe none of this is to say anything negative about Kathy Madden.
No,
she's one of the all-time greats.
I really respect that. Especially when it's like your show, you're selling it all out. You could be doing the theater if you wanted.
No,
you know, and it's
great.
Like, so you're within your rights to
want an
opener that is going to fit.
Yeah, well, one of the things, too, is that when we found a guy that she liked.
She put a cigarette out on me, but other than that, no, I'm just kidding.
Like when she found a guy that she liked, she kept wanting to use him. And there was a guy who I'm just going to plug him, even though he's not on the show this week, but he's been through a club many times. But Ronan Hirschberg was the guy that we put with her.
Oh, yeah.
From,
that's
from
really
Louisville.
Good,
and Ronan match, would do it.
Yeah.
And then like Ronan kept doing it. And then Ronan was like, look, I'm headlining places. Sorry, Kathleen, but I got to go. And now, of course, Ronan is like, you know, the New York Times comedian of the year and all this stuff. They're blowing him up and he's great. But, you know, for a while, I was like, okay, we got to find a guy that's at least as good as him. Who's it going to be?
Right.
Man. But you did that.
Yeah.
You've been doing great, man. There's Conan appearances.
Hanging on.
And I'm going to say this as a guy working at the club. We're playing that video before the show. You were there tonight. And it's just like that Conan, that I don't know if that which Conan that was of yours that we've been playing. But just
I think that was number two.
Was that number two? And I'm just like,
yeah.
These jokes don't get old. These jokes are, I don't know, you know, whatever. Comics change their act, but my goodness, those are great jokes.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm going to probably dust them off.
Yeah, well, dust them off. But yeah, I was just listening. And, you know, I must have heard that thing, you know, 10 times in the last couple of weeks. I'm like,
oh man, that's a killer. You might be entitled to compensation. That's a lot of anybody. That's a lot to hear anyway.
Because
I remember I was kind of laughing because we were at the club earlier.
Yeah.
And for the comedy rumble. And I just went to hang out because, you know, everyone I know is there.
Yeah.
And I just walk into the green room and immediately that starts playing. And I'm like,
that did happen. I remember it started and I'm like, oh, there he is.
And then I'm like, well, in my mind, I'm like, well, it's probably just going to be like one joke and then it'll be over. So this will only be weird for a minute. And then I was just like, they're playing a lot.
It's kind of the whole thing. Yeah. It depends on why they end up. But we want it to be 10 minutes. And based upon what we have available, it could be like more of one person than the next person. It's kind of like, it's kind of whatever like they find.
Do they take it down by the time the headliner comes?
Yeah. By the time you're there, you won't see it this weekend.
You'll be doing the same jokes.
You'll see Zach Martina and whoever's there.
Right.
But so we play that thing, and it's and I was like, you know, because some of those, you can't even hear the guy. It's bad. So if it's a TV spot, those are always good because it sounds
usually
good.
I saw Jeff Tate's was. I was like, oh, this is kind of a baby Jeff Tate. Yeah, I also look like a baby.
You do
pilot,
look like a baby. But that's, you've grown into your look. Come on now.
Yeah.
You know. Was that how much of that was like, this is for show business or this is just for me?
It happened organically, during, COVID.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And then I kept it for me, but then it also helped on stage. I found, coming out of COVID quite a bit. where I was like, I always had this kind of like weak, kind of just dry, weird act.
Yeah.
But I looked like very straight laced, mm-hmm. like clean cut on the surface, yeah. which I didn't really think about.
Uh-huh.
And then I would be like, why are, I never understood, like, I was being interpreted slightly differently than, like, how I felt.
Yeah.
Or how I wrote.
Right.
And then, when I did just organically kind of grow my hair out and stuff, then when I would go on stage after that, people would just get, they would just get on board, like, way faster. They were just like, right, yeah, this makes sense to
me. Right. Yeah,
and then I was like, oh, that's kind of convenient, you know. And then I just I like this stuff. So I was like, all right, this I'm gonna keep rolling with this. Because
I think with comics, it can work both ways. I think you can look one way and yet the material be completely, you know, because that was always the thing they said, like Buddy Hackett and those guys would work dirty, but they did it in a tux.
Right,
and you can
get away with
the being dirty in a tux because
that makes sense,
you're in a
yeah.
tux and you're in front of people and they're dressed up because it's their night out, you know. And these guys, Carlin came along with long hair and stuff, and he was like dressing like the audience,
right?
And that
right.
really made him explode in a way, you know, where he just said, "I'm not doing the thing you're expecting." And that,
yeah,
it was great.
I feel like it just, I don't know, it all. It in my mind, at least, it like fits. It all kind of. I just feel like it was the natural trajectory.
Yeah.
And then you go like, all right, yeah, that makes sense to me. But who knows? Yeah.
It's always something. Well, listen, when I got started in comedy for the first couple months, I had hair about as long as you do right now.
Oh yeah,
and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I was just, it was the end of the 90s, and my hair was like shoulder length for the whole 90s, like grunge, the whole thing. That was me, right? And I started doing comedy, and I would get off stage, and it was like, I would be roasted for my hair. And I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? So a couple months in, I remember I was at home, and I told my dad, I go, Dad, I need you to cut my hair off. And of course, that was music to his ears, right?
Right, right. That feels like
my son wants
thing.
To cut his hair. Why are we cutting your hair? Dad, I'm starting a career in stand-up comedy. another nightmare began. But
you know, what I was talking about the other day, just like wearing certain things and stuff, is it's funny that like Carhartt now is like very trendy.
Absolutely.
And that's all I wore growing up because I was just in like the in the boonies kind of in Monroe.
Right. Yeah.
And then I remember being at Joey's Comedy Club and having my Carhartt coat on. That was like my winter coat.
Yeah.
And I remember Bill Bouchard very good naturedly, but being like, lose the Carhartt, Brad. We're not on the farm anymore. And it's funny that now that's like what people in Brooklyn wear.
Yeah.
Like, it's like very trendy. And I was like, oh, everyone thought I was a yokel, you know.
I think you see Kylie Jenner in a Carhartt jacket at this point.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So when I have mine like I could still wear it, but I found it in my closet recently. I didn't even realize I still had it. And someone was like, that's like worth money now.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know.
I have a Carhartt hat that's over 20 years old that I bought at Arc Surplus in Mount Clemens, Michigan. Do you know Arc? Do you know the where that tie in is comedically? Arc Surplus, Mount Clemens, Michigan.
No.
That is the family that ran Arc Surplus. Was the Paul Feig family, and in the TV show Freaks and Geeks, the kid's family ran the Army Navy Surplus. Yes, Paul Feig.
Is Paul Feig from Michigan?
He is from Clinton Township, Michigan, Chippewa Valley High School.
That.
Who's
well, that makes total sense, of course, because the whole show is based in Michigan.
I will never be the most successful funny person from Chippewa Valley High School. It seems impossible at this point. Paul Feig.
That was
a
real blind spot for me because I love that. Yeah. I love like, especially musicians and stuff. I love like who's from Michigan, who's from Detroit. I'm kind of obsessed with that kind of thing. So I was like, oh, somehow Paul Feig completely slipped through
Paul Feig,
fingers. Yeah,
but he's
in Heavyweights. And was a very, like, bit. My brother and I loved that movie when we were kids.
Yeah, he's 10 years older than me, so I was never at school with him. But I remember, like, when that show came out, and I was like, oh, this is kind of based on my high school.
Yeah, they were always, I watched Freaks and Geeks, like, I don't think I found that till, like, I was in college.
Right.
But it was kind of when Netflix was, like, more novel, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, you can watch this whole season of, but I remember I was like, oh, they're all drinking Faygo. That's great.
Yeah, that was it, man. But yeah, I have that hat from that store, which it had nothing to do with free. I didn't even know, you know, at the time. Later, you found out. I was like, oh, yeah, that's just where you got Carhartt back in the day. It was the Army Navy surplus store in Mount Clemens.
Oh, yeah. It was like my whole family, man. It's Carhartt, the dog, everybody.
All right, well, let's talk about what you've been doing lately, Brad. Let's get everybody up to speed before this weekend. You've been out on the road. I'm looking at your Instagram. I'm looking. You're playing A rooms. You know, there's no bowling alleys on that list, dude. I'm seeing it. You're really an A-list headliner at this
point. Oh, that's nice of you, man. I'm trying. Whatever clubs will let me in there, you know, it's always just trying to line up more stuff, you know, because it's just me, you know. So
it's just you doing that. You're doing the booking.
So it's like, wherever any of the clubs that have me, I'm always like very grateful for that, you know. Okay. So yeah, trying to do as much as I can, you know. Yeah.
But did you have a guy booking you? Is that a thing you've ever tried? No, never.
It's never really been a thing. No, people always were under the impression, you know, that there was this guy. And I was like, man, I would love for there to be a guy.
I mean,
that would be amazing. You know, if there's a guy out there or a lady, by all means, help.
Well, I mean,
but no, it's just, it's always just been me like emailing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, you can do that. I mean, I know the way the Comedy Castle works. It's like, not everybody's repped. That's headlining there, you know, even guys from out of town and stuff. It's like, these guys, you know, some of them are just good and they come in or, you know, there's also guys who like, you know, play the club for years and years. And it's like, I'm just going to fire this agent. I know all these club owners. I can get
right,
back.
Totally.
I can come back here. I don't need you taking whatever percentage of my money.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense too. Yeah. It all just kind of depends, you know. I'm trying to just do as much road stuff as I can all the time and get around. And it's fun to headline and, you know, turn over new stuff and piece that all together. And it just kind of, it never really ends, you know. Yeah. And so it's just,
that's the job. That's for a lot of people to get as a road comic, your job is to get yourself booked.
Yeah, that's what I always with all the success stuff is like, really what I want. It's not like fame or whatever. It's like, no, I just want access to stage time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want. You want to be able, you want to be booked so you can keep doing the thing you like to do, you know? So that's always like kind of at the forefront of like, oh, I just want to keep getting booked.
You know? Got to. That's the thing. You can't rest on. Well, I'm booked, you know, and I'll just sit because you know, you got to get those bookings a year in advance.
Have a nice
stuff
few and months, and then you're like, oh man, I gotta like,
you gotta get it together.
right now, I'm like, I gotta figure out the spring. Yeah,
right. That is the thing with comics.
Some of the winter.
I gotta work on my fall. It's like, dude, it's January. Yeah. I know, but it's
waiting. I need Denver and Montana to get back to me. Good, so.
Well, let me ask you, we were at the Comedy Rumble tonight. What's it like for you to sit there and you're not on the show, you know, you're there hanging out, your friends are at the show. Can you do that or does it just make you wish you were up there to be in the room?
I did feel that you start to have this compulsion of let me up there or like, this is what I would do. This is if I had to go up right now, this is what I would say. Why didn't they say this? This is what I would have said.
Yeah.
You know, you can't help. But I think you start to feed off the energy of the room and stuff, especially in a club or a place you're familiar with, you know, you kind of want to get in there. But it's been a long time since I've just kind of like sat in the club and watched, you know, something like that. I've done, I'll find myself in green rooms a fair amount. Right. like hanging around, but it's been a long time since I just kind of sat in the back and watched something play out, you know. But the Rumble's a good one to watch,
right?
You
know? Yeah, it's all that, good that, people.
It's fun. The format's really fun
because like one guy didn't show up, and then I when he was calling his name, like I went and checked like where he signs in, and the guy never signed in. So I was like going like trying to get to Brett and say, hey, you know, the guy never checked in. And and I was gonna go like, well, I'll do it. Like I thought that'd be cool. So I had that that went through my mind tonight. Like, okay, let me go see if he signed the list. If he didn't, I'll come up out of the crowd and like rock that shit for tonight. Of course, Brett completely moved on before any of that could happen.
Right.
That was my. I don't know if that's my professional wrestling fan run in thing that went through my head. Cause, but that does. That does go through my head too. Like, you know what? I'll go up there.
That crossed my mind too with that, because it's like a wrestling.
It's a wrestling
thing. And then Brett was on stage talking about how the guy's trying to trademark.
Oh my god!
And I was like, wow, this is he got WWF.
He kind of did, yeah.
He's true. This is true to the theme.
Yeah. And you saw we had professional wrestling VIP in the crowd. See that?
Oh, was one of the Motor City Machine?
Yeah, Alex Shelley was there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see. Him, but someone mentioned he might like. Hayden mentioned like months ago that he's like, I think Alex Shelley's gonna go.
He did. He showed up. He didn't have
there.
And in fact, he didn't have like reserved seats. so he would have been sitting like next to you at the next table. But I went up to him and I was like, hey, dude. Hey, man. I got a good table for you. Let's go. You know, because I talked some wrestling with him for a couple minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And put him over on the far side at that high top.
I saw him. They do wrestling down the alley from me in Hamtramck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I had seen him wrestle there just before he got signed by WWE. So I was like, oh, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Know? And I said, I go, dude, did you want to come? Because this is a wrestling themed comedy event. He goes, I like comedy. I just want to see the show. So
yeah, I guess because cool I guess I remember Hayden being like, yeah, I think Alex Shelley's going to come to this comedy rumble. And I was like, oh, that's wild. And then he like. A few weeks later, there was the open mic at the Ann Arbor showcase at the club.
Yeah.
And I was meaning to go, and then I couldn't get there in time. It didn't work out. And so I said, like, hey, how was that mic? And he was like, oh, it was really good. And Alex Shelley was there. And I was like, is he just like going to all your shows? And he's like, yeah, I think it was organic.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was like, I think he just likes comedy.
Comedy, yeah.
I was like, all right,
wild.
Cool.
That's great, man. Look, listen, I hope all the celebrities show up this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in town, Eminem, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
You can roll by Brad Wenzel.
Seager would make me too nervous, but that
Seager
would
make
one.
You too nervous? You're a Seager guy.
Oh, yeah. I'd be starstruck.
He was one of the original investors in the Comedy Castle. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I didn't know he was
Yeah,
an
he was an original investor. That's what Mark told me.
I know he has there's like lots of Seeger lore around the comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Castle.
It was pictures of him
like
and Mark together, but he was a
yeah.
guy that got in. And I don't know. Because, you know, Ken Calvert, I don't know if Ken Calvert was an investor, but Ken and Mark go way back. And of course, Calvert, you know, was tight with Seeger.
Ken was the radio dude.
Yeah, Ken Calvert from the radio. And of course, Ken Calvert. Introduced Bruce Springsteen to Bob Seger. You know that story?
Yeah, there's like that
story.
Picture.
Yep. And Bruce was at Masonic Temple and Bob was out at Pine Knob. And when Bruce, at the end of the show, you know, Calvert said to Bruce, he says, hey, you want to go see Bob Seger? And Bruce said, let's do it. And they made
that
drive. What was that?
Yeah, out to Clawson.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's I love that story.
You love it.
You've definitely heard this story about, and I don't know how much of this is factual or what's like been inflated, but the story about Seeger being in the crowd and throwing a bottle at a heckler.
Oh yeah, I've heard that story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the greatest story I've ever heard in my life. That's like the coolest shit in the world.
But imagine you're the drunk heckler and it's like,
yeah.
Hey, some guy's throwing stuff. Oh, hey, I think that's Bob Seeger.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're heckling at a comedy show, so you're already an asshole. And then you get hit with a bottle, and then you're like, who hit me with a bottle? And you're like, the guy who wrote Turn the Page, you fucking dick. Like, it's like beautiful.
Yeah. Are you still doing the Seeger podcast? Is that a thing?
No, I haven't done that in a few years, but it was a fun,
oh
very
yeah,
fun
man.
To do with
that's
Trevor
great.
Smith.
That's
I have such a deep well of Seeger
knowledge
from doing that pod.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, he's the man. He's
yeah,
the best.
I went to his last one of his last shows at Pine Knot.
Oh
yeah,
okay. I went
yeah.
to one of those too.
Yeah, I went
I
to
wonder
one.
If we were at the same.
It was 27 of them. I don't know if it was.
Yeah, that's true. I think I might have been at the kickoff.
Okay, now we went run. Later. My fiance's mother was a big fan, and
nice.
She never got to go. And then like my uncle Albert, who's rock and roller, played in rock bands, you know, as a young guy and stuff. And I said, you know, whenever we're together, I go, hey, man, you know, what's the concert you're coming to? You want to go see anybody and all this stuff? And he goes, we should be at Bob Seger at Pine Knob. You know, we should go or something. And I go, yeah, Uncle Elber, that's a good idea. And then my Aunt Mary, God bless my Aunt Mary, I love the lady. She says to Uncle Elber, she goes, you're not going to that. And I treated my Uncle Elber to a Bob Seger. So we got to take my fiance's
right.
mother and my Uncle Elbert. Out to Pine Knob to see Bob. That was really cool.
I went with my dad for that one, and that was a good time. He had seen him there in the 80s.
Oh yeah.
And he said he sounded just as good as back then.
Yeah.
So he
yeah.
was like it held up.
I think my Uncle Albert said he was at like whatever live bullet, the Cobo Arena.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Crazy.
He said he was
yeah.
at that. I don't know.
Literally listened to that record yesterday.
There you go, yeah, man.
I got it for someone for Christmas. I got a used copy at a record store. And I was like, you know, I'm just gonna run this to make sure there's no, you know, pops or anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
And then I was just like, that album is relentless.
Yeah,
best live album of all time.
Do you know
in
what?
In my opinion,
yeah. But you know what they say? As a big, I love Bob. But as a Springsteen fan, like my number one guy, Beatles probably number one guy, but you whatever. You know what
yeah,
they
yeah.
say about Bob Seger versus Springsteen and the compliment that has always gone to Bob Seger?
Tread lightly here.
No, no, no. This is a compliment to Bob. It's
oh,
a compliment
yeah, yeah,
to Bob, and it's sort of a criticism of Bruce. Is
right.
that Bob
okay,
Seger,
okay.
here's where Bob Seger was smart and Bruce was not. In the 70s or whatever, you know, their heyday, right?
Mm.
Bob Seger went to Los Angeles. And he made the albums with all of those great L.A. producers and those great studios that they had out there. And that's why his singles and his radio stuff sounds amazing to this day, because he went out of his way to make these records the way that all of the hit makers were making their records. And Springsteen wouldn't leave New York. And he was working with the guys in New York. He was working with Jimmy Iovine and some of these guys. And those
right.
studios were not up to the quality of the L.A. studios. So that's why when you hear, you know, all that Hollywood Nights and all those things, and they jump out of the speaker, it's because they made them in L.A.
Oh, that's
yeah,
interesting.
That's what
yeah,
they say.
I've never heard that,
yeah.
like,
that's
angle
what Bruce
out.
Fans say. The Bruce fans say, like, well, you know, Bruce made these great records, but sonically, they're not up to the standard of what Bob Seger was doing at the time, because Bob Seger went out and found these best guys in L.A. and did the records.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
I always say like Seger is. I think Seger has the edge because Spring and I like Springs. I love Springsteen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like Springsteen was always the more critically acclaimed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like of the two,
right.
But I'm like, no, it's Seger because I was like by his own admission, Bruce Springsteen is a curated. Artist, like it's a curated sort of like artistic presentation
mm-hmm.
of a persona. That he's like, I'm kind of basing this on my dad,
yeah.
on this like blue
right.
collar,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Right.
And he goes, but it like he has like whole like one man show about this.
Yeah, yeah,
you
he
know?
Does.
Like,
yeah, he says that. He goes, I was dressed like a man going to work and I never worked a day in my life. That's it.
Right, right, right. Okay, so that like
yeah, Bruce,
you know,
Bruce
so
cops
goes,
to that.
Okay.
He cops
and
to
then,
that.
And then and the critics ate it up, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, Bob Seger wakes up Bob Seger.
Yeah, man.
Like his eyes open, he's Bob Seger. He's Bob Seger on
right.
stage. He's Bob Seger at the grocery store. That dude's just
there
that
it is.
Dude. And I think that's more, even more artistically significant. You know, I think he should get is just as much, not even a slight on Bruce. I just think Seeger should get the same love, you know?
Well, I think you were at the Bruce show when Seeger jumped on stage a couple years ago, right? Were you
no,
at that
I wasn't
one?
At
oh,
that
you
were, show.
Oh, I was at the Palace. That was great.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
Bob jumped on stage. You just did the last number with him, played the tambourine. It was cool, man.
Yeah, that, cool. That rips. I saw Seeger at Pine Knob on the tour, and I saw him at the Forum in LA, and that was sick.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's a classic place.
Yeah, that place. It looked like they had kind of the like live bullet lighting
there, and then
it's got that cool. It's so
it's that old 70s
forever.
Arena. Yeah,
it was just the perfect. Place to see him.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. All right, I think we're gonna wrap it up with this, Brad. But we want people to come out this weekend. You're gonna do your taping these things. There's gonna be a potential new album in there or something, right?
Is that safe I'm taping everything, and then if I get some, you know, I'm just trying to tape everything. You know?
Brad Wenzel, live bullet points. I don't know. I'm giving you an album. Come on, I'm helping you out.
I'll shave the sides and then it'll be a live mullet. You know?
Who's the guy that did the Matt Bronger? You ever see his album cover?
Oh yeah,
yeah, he did it. I talked to him about it at the show. I go, yeah, man, I love.
Yeah, he's super funny.
Yeah, Matt Bronger tribute. But hey, man, we talked for way longer than I usually do on these shows, and that's because I love talking to you and I love hearing your voice.
Oh yeah, likewise, man. No worries.
We're gonna see you this weekend. Five big shows right after Christmas. Bring the whole family out.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Sounds good. Yeah. Come to the show.
Boxing Day. It starts. December 26th. The real thing. You still there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think you were cutting out for a second there.
I was pausing to be dramatic, Brad Wenzel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought the call dropped. No. And here's actually the thing, too. You know, when I was talking to you to line this up, I found an old email thread from the last time you headlined the club.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had to cancel our interview because I went into the hospital.
Oh,
and
geez.
When I saw that thread, from the summer of 23. And when I saw that thread, I said, man, my health is better now. And I finally got a chance to talk to you. So it means a lot, man.
Oh, yeah. Likewise, man. I'm glad you're doing better.
I'm sure I scared the hell out of you because we were like, we're doing it tomorrow. And then I was like, hey, Brad, I'm in the hospital. Like,
right.
And we came down to that. Yeah, I found that thread. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, that happened. Holy crap. I'm better now, dude.
I was like, Joel really doesn't want to do this podcast.
It's killing him to do this show. I'm good now. Hey, Brad, we'll see you this weekend, buddy. Thanks for talking.
All right, see you.
Hey, Brad Wenzel, everybody, come on. Yeah, I got a little choked up reading those old emails when I was in the hospital and couldn't interview Brad. It's sad, man. It was a tough time for me. And you know, to see those emails written from a guy in the hospital to him... you know, it kind of choked me up a little bit, you know, but here we are. Here we are a year and a half later and I'm healthy and Brad's doing great and he's going to be headlining again, you know. So his show's really, I'll tell you what, guys, if you want to see just innovative, really fresh, original comedy, this is the guy. This is the guy to see, Brad Wenzel. Come on out. See a young guy who's, you know, I don't want to say it's a clean show. But it's super funny, you know, and it's not dirty. Like you can't bring, you know, someone you're not going to be embarrassed sitting there going, oh, God, why did he bring you this? It's a great show. He's one of the most talented dudes I've ever seen come down the pike. That is a thing where I will qualify because I wasn't around for the start of, you know, these great comedians that, you know, their careers. I wasn't around for that most cases. But to watch a guy go from, you know, the open mics to headlining and being a big deal nationally, I'm really proud that it happened to him, and maybe I had a little bit of part in that. You heard that in the interview. You know, I was always a real champion of Brad, so it's great to see him this weekend, and we want to see your faces. We want to see you guys post-holiday out at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. It's always a good time out there, So thanks to you guys for listening. This is one of my favorite shows of the year this year. I know it was a long one, but I hope you got through the whole thing there and enjoyed our talk. I know I enjoyed doing it, and I think he did too. So again, 5 big shows with Brad starting on Thursday, the 26th. So go to comedycastle.com, get those tickets, come on out. Also, give the gift of the comedy classes at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. If you haven't done that yet, the beginner class with Bill Bouchard, or if they've done that one, the advanced comedy class starting January 11th with myself as your instructor. And I'm really looking forward to that one. What a great show. What a great, Brad Wenzel. Come on, people. You can't get much better than that. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all of you. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week. All right. Good night.